Brigands of the Moon by Ray Cummings. Foreword by Ray Cummings. I have been thinking that if, during one of those long winter evenings at Valley Forge, someone had placed in George Washington's hands one of our present-day bestsellers, the illustrious father of our country would have read it with considerable emotion. I do not mean what we call a story of science or fantasy, just a novel of action, adventure, and romance, the sort of thing you and I like to read, but do not find amazing in any way at all. But I fancy that George Washington would have found it amazing, don't you? It might picture, for instance, a factory girl at a sewing machine. George Washington would be amazed at a sewing machine. And the girl, journeying in the subway to and from her work, stealing an opportunity to telephone her lover at the noon hour, going to the movies in the evening, or listening to a radio. And there might be a climax, perhaps, with the girl and the villain in a transcontinental railway pullman, and the hero sending frantic telegrams or telephoning the train and then chasing it in his airplane. George Washington would have found it amazing. And I am wondering how you and I would feel if someone were to give us now a book of ordinary adventure of the sort which will be published 150 years hence. I have been trying to imagine such a book and the nature of its contents. Let us imagine it together. Suppose we walk down Fifth Avenue, a pleasant spring morning of May 2080. Fifth Avenue, no doubt, will be there. I don't know whether the New York Public Library will be there or not. We'll assume that it is, and it has some sort of books printed or in whatever fashion you care to imagine. The young man library attendant is surprised at our curiously antiquated aspect. We look as though we were dressed for some historical costume ball. We talk old-fashioned English, like actors in a historical play of the 1930 period. But we get the book. The attendant assures us it is a good average story of action and adventure. Nothing remarkable, but he read it himself and found it interesting. We thank him and take the book, but we find that the language in which it is written is too strange for comfortable reading, and it names so many extraordinary things so casually, as though we knew all about them, which we certainly do not. So we take it to the kind-hearted librarian in the language division. He modifies it to old-fashioned English of 1930, and he puts occasional footnotes to help explain some of the things we might not understand. Why he should bother to do this for us, I don't know, but let us assume that he does. And now we take the book home in the pneumatic tube or aerial moving sidewalk or airship or whatever it is we take to get home. And now that we are home, let's read the book. It ought to be interesting. Chapter 1 tells of the Grantline Moon Expedition and of the mysterious Martian who followed us in the city corridor. One may write about oneself and still not be an egoist, or so at least they tell me. My narrative went broadcast with a fair success. It was pantomimed, and the public flashed me a reasonable approval, and so my disc publishers have suggested I record it in more permanent form. I introduce myself, begging grace that I intrude upon your busy minutes, with my only excuse that perhaps I may amuse you. For what the commercial sellers of my pictured version were pleased to blare as my handsome face, I ask your indulgence. My feminine audience of the pantomimes was undoubtedly graciously pleased at my personality and physical aspect, that I am tall as a Viking of old and handsome as a young Norse god. Is very pretty talk in the selling of my product, but I deplore its intrusion into the personality of this, my recorded narrative. And so now, for preface, to all my audience I do give earnest assurance that Gregg Haljan is no conceited zebra, handsomely striped by nature and proud of it. Not so. I am, I do beg you to believe, a very humble fellow, striving for your approval, hoping only to entertain you. My introduction. My name, Gregg Haljan. My age, 25 years. I was, at the time my narrative begins, third officer on the spaceship Planetara. Our line was newly established, in 2070 to be exact, following the modern improvements of the Martel magnetic levitation. Our ship, whose home port was Great New York, carried mail and passenger traffic to and from both Venus and Mars. Of astronomical necessity,